The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
I went down a rabbit hole. I watched more of the video.
Riddle like, solved, Sam.
It's
Riddle
like, solved. Man, he said Michigan lost a ton on the offensive line. Like, what are you talking about?
They lost a couple of guys.
What are you talking about?
And they brought in one of the top three centers from last year to replace the center from last year. They actually upgraded in center.
You should be disqualified from analysis when you say stuff like that.
So, Sam, what we have figured out is that he claims that everybody else is overrating Michigan because of a banner they won last year. But he is downgrading Michigan because of misinformation. So wait, the offensive line's a big one.
You lost a tackle, sure. Sure you did, but you're replacing it with some talent.
Nobody's lost any offensive lineman elsewhere around the country.
Correct. But you upgraded center. No disrespect intended to Andrew Vistardis.
Correct. He might even tell you.
But his teammate said they upgraded at center. And they all qualified the same way. No disrespect. He was great. He was really, really good. He really stepped up for the team. But this dude... This dude, we see why he's a Remington Award finalist. We think he's the best center in the country. You know, he's already being regarded as, you know, captain material. He's only been on campus for 8 months now, right? Like, what are we talking about? How do you have this job? You should lose your voting privileges when you come out with that. It makes the entire poll look bad. When you have someone that misinformed providing analysis. Are you kidding me?
But it's why.
Then he said, no disrespect to Kane. He said, Cade McNamara is a young Jim Harbaugh. Now that, if you thought that, that's like they should be in the top 25, right? Like if you really think Cade McNamara is a young Jim Harbaugh, they should be a top 25 team. Hands down.
I don't think the analogy fits.
I don't either.
But if you make that analogy, then Michigan should be ranked.
Like, what are we talking about?
I love how he gets really specific, though, at the end. He goes, if we were ranking 26, yeah, I'd probably rank him at 26, but we don't. It's only 25.
What are we talking about, Ira?
But he wow. ranked, so what is Minnesota or I? Wait, so he rips on – he actually compliments Cade McNamara but doesn't rank him. He goes, I don't know what they have at quarterback at Iowa, but he ranks them after Michigan beat him by 1,000 last year?
No, you do know what they have at quarterback.
Right, they don't.
You do know what that Iowa has at quarterback. Iowa would like someone different at quarterback at this point. How about this? Ask Kirk Ferentz, would he trade his quarterback for either of Michigan's? I bet you he'd say yes. Bet you he'd say yes. You know, in a private moment, hell yeah, give me one of those guys over Petras. Come on, man. Wow. I'm sorry, Ira. I didn't mean to go down the rabbit hole, but I watch more. You know, you watch it to a point and you stop because it's so ridiculous. And then you watch a little more and it just doesn't get better.
Right, because you can't turn away from a train wreck. It's like there was all those years ago, there was a column written by a former Detroit Free Press columnist. And in the beginning, he basically wrote how Michigan shouldn't have been in the Sugar Bowl because I think it was Baylor. Got screwed out of the spot because they lost in the Big 12 championship game, yet there was not a Big 12 championship game. Like, once you write something that is so wrong or say something like he did that is so wrong, you don't care about the rest of the analysis. But we had a lot of people mentioning he's trying to be, you know, trying to build his brand like Barrett Saleh did because, you know, anyone that can troll. And trolls get us, and it worked.
I mean, but
and it worked. Now people in Ann Arbor know who this guy is as opposed to forgetting who this guy is.
You can't just.
The irony is that part of his substance, most of his substance was wrong, but in his wrong analysis, he should have ranked him higher, at least part of it.
Did you watch Jim Harbaugh? I mean, you're giving this dude the better praise than I've ever heard. And again, this is no. Yeah, disrespect. Did you know how good Jim Harbaugh was?
Did he really even say why he said he was a young Jimmy Harbaugh?
He started talking about how Jim Kelly tried to call Jim Harbaugh out.
Oh, he was talking about when he was in the league?
Yeah, and how he sought him out and, you know, the kind of – if you think he's that dude.
So he's talking about moxie?
Yeah, any part of him you think is Jim Harbaugh, you should be ranking him in the top 25. No question. You definitely should be ranking him ahead of Iowa, whose quarterback will never be compared to Jim Harbaugh.
All right, so
any respect.
All right, so
or Chuck Long would be a better one, right? Chuck Long never be compared to Chuck Long.
Now he also had Minnesota ranked, but Minnesota's quarterback is as old as Jim Harbaugh is, so maybe there's a comparison. How many years has Tanner Morgan been in college?
So Ira, change subjects.
Thank you.
So I got into a little bit of a discussion yesterday with one of my Southern colleagues about NIL. Like, oh, you changed that subject to this one, right? And the outside of the obvious, like, why is the South doing NIL so well, right? Why are certain schools doing NIL so well? Now, part of it is what we've talked about before, because they were doing NIL before NIL was a legal thing by NCAA standards, right? So it was very easy to mainline what they were doing behind the scenes anyway. But there is a piece of this that is applicable that I think moving forward, it will be very interesting to watch and see if Michigan or other schools, if collectively college football, college athletics gets this together. He said, you know, the thing that we do, or the thing that, not we, the thing that they do down here so well is that everyone from a fundraising standpoint is in alignment. What do I mean by that? Because you have competing fundraising entities on every campus, right? You have, you know, athletics, you know, you have up on the hill.
Yeah, so for Michigan, you have athletic, this is basic. You have athletic development, you have university development, mm-hmm. you have medical
development. We had Gene Skidmore on yesterday.
And every school, kinesiology, LSNA, law school, et cetera, every single school has development, and within those offices, they each have their own funds, right?
So
there you go.
And so he laid out how aligned they are down there at this particular school. Total alignment where, hey, you got access to the program. So you come to practice whenever you want or whatever it is, right? Everyone is aligned about what that means, what the value of that is. So at this particular school, if the price tag for it has been, or the value has always been, hey, you know what, for this type of access, $1 million pledge. I'm just throwing out a number. $1 million pledge. Then they're all in alignment on that. That, hey, now, you know, maybe it's the football program looking for that level of support. Now you're trying to get it as an add-on to what they were already donating, say, to medical development. You don't want to siphon off that money. So you're talking to them about that too, but you also aren't changing the price tag. So you aren't coming into it saying, all right, you get this access for $500,000. That's when it really becomes good. Wait, so you're siphoning off money from another developmental arm and you're doing it for less. This is how the competing entities, you know, really conflict, really are competing. He said, no, there's total alignment here where, you know, if athletics is going in and trying to engage a donor to support NIL, there's an understanding of what the value of this access is or that access is. It's the same as you know, medical development was putting it up for, or what have you. And then at the same time, they're also mindful of, hey, you know what? Can we sort of up the donation, or can we do some things that are you know, that acknowledge that this is these are dollars that were going someplace else before, and maybe we can get additional dollars on top of that. You know, you try to work together, and at this particular institution, they do it extremely well. I don't know how they've coordinated all of those departments, but they have done so in a way, and maybe it's because they put athletics out front, right? They put athletics ahead of medical development in some of these places, right? And maybe that makes it easier to align
Not
these
some,
things.
Not some, Sam. Most of those places.
And that won't be the case at Michigan, but the concept of the developmental arms working in unison, establishing value for, you know, a set value for specific aspects of donation, I think is going to be one of the things to watch moving forward.
So this is something that we didn't get into this particular specifically, but last week when Juwan met with the media, he did talk about NIL. And he talked about, are we doing collective? No. Do other people have a collective? Yes. Should we be doing more? No. Yes. Does that include me? Yes. But he was saying just in general. And he has talked to the powers that be, if you will. And so he's talking about it, and you're hearing more about doing more things. Well, as much as we said, and I still believe that when the new president starts, that athletics is not at the highest priority list because there are a lot of things that need to be done when he gets here. When you and I said, when he first would take a look at it and say, all right, how strong are athletics? And he would look on the surface like, things are really good, all these titles and everything else. I think when he gets here, he's going to take a closer look at athletics than he realized when he first started.
Well,
and I think this is going to be part of the conversation. Does he move something quickly or make any moves at all? I don't know. But if someone's going to get everybody on the same page,
yes,
it's yes. When Santa comes to town.
Yeah, it's great pun. This is where I think all of the NIL hope that was, you know, arrived in an instant when Santa Ono arrived as the president or was hired as the president. I think it was misplaced initially, thinking he was going to change the culture, change the NIL culture and say, hey, we're pay for play, which I, as I said before, have absolutely no moral quarrel with at all. But that is not how Michigan has done it, will do it, now and probably ever. Certainly, for the foreseeable future, they won't be doing it that way. So what kind of change could he bring about? And that is what I think it is. All right. I think it's the alignment. The alignment of the different fundraising arms of the university. Because, I mean, look, this is without question. I don't care what campus you're on. There had to be a moment where every developmental office on campus, wait a minute. The dollars that we were getting to incentivize, you know, with athletic incentives, those dollars that we were getting, are they now going to be funneled off? Are they now going to be siphoned off and go directly to maybe the football program or the basketball program? Can we get that same donation? Especially if, you know, if we were saying, hey, you give $1 million to medical development and you get sideline passes for the season. Well, what if the football program comes in and says, hey, you know what? You, for a $250,000 buy-in for the NIL collective, if you want to call it that, you get sideline passes for a season. You see the conflict there? So bringing that alignment that apparently is in place, a number of places in the SEC, ACC, South, let's just call it the South, I think is the one aspect of this sort of NIL advancement that we've seen elsewhere. That's the one aspect of it where I could really see Santa Ono coming in and saying, all right, let's all sit down. Let's establish value and partnership and work together in a way that can benefit us all, but certainly advance the ball NIL-wise in a way that makes Michigan more competitive in that space. We'll see, but this was that optimism that people were hoping for with Santa Ono. This is where you find it, in my opinion. Like, I heard that, I was like, man, that makes sense. That's not the whole story. I'm sure that's not the whole story at Bama or LSU. I'm throwing out a bunch of SEC schools so you know which one I talk to. But Bama or LSU or A&M, I'm sure, you know, you had some past history.
Clemson, Kentucky too, Sam.
Right, you had some past history. We're working with these things, but it makes sense that you have the entire university fundraising arms or all the arms, the fundraising arms of the university working together in concert to establish the value of different things that incentivize donation. I think that's the way forward. You know, if you're talking about the NIL, the NIL position that Michigan is in right now. We shall see, Mr. Weintraub. It is 7:50 on a Tuesday morning. We'll get to a little recruiting on the other side. We have the Townie Top 3 coming up. We have Tuesdays with EA as well.
And we also, I forgot to tell you, but we have Jen Klein, because the season opener for women's soccer officially is Thursday night. And so Jen Klein will be joining us at around 8:25.
All right, we got to get to a break, get to the recruiting roundup on the other side here on the Michigan Insider at Sports Talk 250 WTKA, The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.